some of you are going to be here this afternoon about 1 o'clock. So thank you for just mentioning them in prayer, to safe landing and all. But this month we're focusing on ministry. At the end of the month, we're having a ministry training, a seminar time, Friday and Saturday, 30-31st. We expect and encourage everyone to be there. Those of you involved in ministry, of course, you need to be involved with this. On that Saturday, we're going to have a shared lunch. Church will be providing some mains, but we would like to ask you bring a side dish as well to share with everyone else. Some kind of side dish. What is a side dish, Jen? Not a main, okay? Let's put it that way. Sorry, I leave that side up to Jen. What? Veggies, salads, desserts. Very good. Okay. And also, if you say, well, I'm not involved in ministry right now, but if God is working in your heart through this month, saying, this year, I want you to serve me in this area. I want you to use your gifts in this area. Come. Come and be a part of this. And get prepared, get ready for following the Lord this year. Last week, the focus was the priority of ministry to family. We even took a look in the qualifications for the pastor, which, again, isn't superhuman qualifications. It is kind of the ordinary Christian life for the believers. But as a pastor, you're supposed to be, of course, you know, living to the standard they are required of a pastor. But one of them has to do with his family. He must rule his family well and his kids, in subjection and respect them. And if he cannot rule his own house, how can he rule the house of God? So we see the importance of ministry to the family, the priority of it. In two areas, we took a look at two areas, ministering to the family in word, and the other one was, remember? In word and, come on, it's not that hard, deed, or word and action, works, ministering to the family in word and deed. We saw that family was the first institution that God established, and our ministry flows from that ministry out into other areas. Much the same in the church, we minister in word and in deed. Romans 15, verse 18, reminds us that the result of the gospel and the result of salvation is obedience to God in word and deed. Take a look at Romans 15, verse 18. Paul says, I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient. So the result here, accomplished through the preaching of the gospel, the result is obedience. Notice obedience is really a synonym for coming to Christ, for salvation. Obedience is a synonym. It means the same thing as coming to Christ and salvation. Pastor John MacArthur puts it this way. He says, the gospel not only calls men to faith in Christ as Savior, but to obedience to Him as Lord. So it's a half a gospel when we just talk about Jesus as the Savior. He is also the Lord, and He is to be Lord of your life. When you come to Him in faith, in saving faith, the result is obedience. So the gospel is to produce obedience in a person's life. Paul recognized also that all the credit for sharing the gospel, all that is accomplished, goes to Jesus Christ. But yet Paul was involved in the work. Paul was involved in the work by what he had said and done. He had to share the gospel in the power of the Spirit so that it would accomplish what God wanted to accomplish. And God wants to use you as an instrument as well. God wants to use you with what He has given you, the gifts that He has given you to accomplish His purpose in the church. So how are we to minister? Let me share a few simple points this morning of how we're to minister. In particular, we're focusing on in the church. Last week, we looked at the family, ministering at home, and the importance of keeping the focus and perspective and priority. But how are we to minister in the church? Number one is this. We minister to those God brings to us. What do we mean by that? Take a look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 2. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Before we go on any farther, let's pray and ask the Lord to use His Word and to illumine our minds and to bring us conviction through the Word. Let's pray. Father, this morning I just ask that You take out distractions from our minds. Help us, Lord, to focus on what You are saying to us. I thank You for the worship that we've had and for that special song with Lucita and JJ, Lord. I thank You, Lord, for focusing us this year on our ministries and what it is that You would have us to do. May we keep our perspective and priorities right. But Lord, may we also be willing to reach out from beyond ourselves, reach out even from beyond our homes as we minister at home, and use the giftings that You've given to us for Your cause and for Your purposes to be able to share the gospel with people around us, which leads to obedience. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name, and we say, amen. So, minister to those God brings to us. You see, earlier in Matthew chapter number 9, we see a setting where many, as the Bible puts it, sinners and publicans come and eat with Jesus and His disciples. So many of these sinners and publicans, the publicans were the tax collectors, the scum of society, those that everyone else frowned upon. We see sinners coming, and they're eating with Jesus and His apostles. Some people saw this, and it bothered them, and they asked Jesus, why would He allow it? Do they know who's sitting with Him? Why would He allow them to sit with Him? His reply was that it's not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. This is who Jesus came to save. It's not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. So He welcomed these. And we're not just talking about physically ill people. He did care for them as well. But we're talking about people that the rest of society don't look at as being real assets. They don't look at them as being real helpful to whatever cause that someone was trying to achieve. And so they see Jesus, and He's trying to teach, and He's a rabbi, and He's building a following, but yet His following consists of a ragtag bunch of sinners. In the 3rd century, there was a debate on Christianity. On the one side, the Christian being one of the early church fathers known as Origen. On the other side, a pagan named Celsus. Celsus told Origen, he says, "When most teachers go forth to teach, they cry, 'Come to me, you who are clean and worthy.' And they are allowed by the highest, by the highest caliber of people available. But your silly master cries, 'Come to me, you who are down and beaten by life.' And so he accumulates around him the ragtag and bobtail of humanity." So this guy Celsus meant this as an insult. But the truth is that he was actually right. That's precisely who Jesus sought. That's not always the kind of people, though, that some churches seek and want to seek themselves. So I'm going to ask you this morning, church, IBC, are you ready and willing to minister, to use your gifts, to love, and to reach out to everyone that God brings to our way? This year, God, by His grace and God willing, He will bring to us faces, new souls that come into this place. And if someone comes in and they're driving up with a nice car and have nice clothes, would we reach out and welcome him while ignoring someone else who may not be so impressive? Someone else that the rest of the world might look down upon as being not so desirable? Surely not. Surely not. One of the most crucial points of doctrine that we have is simply that we are all sinners. Male and female, and no matter what country that you're born from. But in Christ, we are the same. And so as we understand this understanding and doctrine of sin, and we understand the grace of God that is poured out upon us who are unworthy, undeserving of His grace, how can we not look at others and say, my brother, you know, welcome. Welcome. Come and find the same grace that I was given. And so I encourage you, don't forget this. And ask God this year how to show you to move perhaps beyond your own personal comfort. Go out of your way to welcome people. Welcome people you may not be normally inclined to. Sometimes people gravitate to those that are most like them. You know what I mean? People who perhaps look like them. It always humors me to watch, just around the streets or around the shops, and you see young people, often in groups of two, three, or four, and those young people will look very much alike. If they have on blue jeans and a t-shirt, they all have on blue jeans and a t-shirt. If they, wear shorts and a singlet, they all have shorts and a singlet. They like to gravitate to those who are like them, but oftentimes Christians are a bit the same. They can gravitate and want to focus on people who are most like them. So I encourage you, ask God to give you a heart to reach out to those that He brings to us, that He brings to you, into your life, into this church as well. Maybe you speak a different language, and maybe you gravitate towards just those who speak your language. Don't do that. Reach out. Reach out beyond your own comfort area. Is God asking you to go into a ministry? What is it that He is putting on your heart? And maybe it's something that you hadn't considered, but are you open to God's leading? Maybe you hadn't considered something like being involved in children's ministry. And you say, that's just not something I would normally gravitate to, but God is putting something on my heart. That's just an example. But you say, God has put this on my heart. It's beyond my comfort. It's beyond something that I thought I would be able to do, but I believe God would have me to do this. And by God's grace, by God's strength, by God's power, I will obey. We must minister to those that He brings us. Number two, though, we must minister with the proper motive. Look at 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13. Why don't you read this with me this time? Ready? Each one's work, let's start over. Each one's work will become clear. Wait a second, what are we on to? What's going on? 1 Corinthians 3:13. because... Oh, that's the problem. We got a different translation. Okay, so listen to me then. I don't know how that happened this time. Interesting. Listen as I follow along. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work, of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. What is this saying? This passage here is referring to a judgment. It is a judgment, but this is a judgment of believers. It's not a judgment of unbelievers. This is a time when believers will stand before the Lord, and what their works, what they have done here, their deeds, are judged by the judge himself, by Christ. What's at stake? Well, it's not heaven or hell. For our condemnation, our sin, has been dealt with by Christ already. No condemnation. But what's at stake here is the reward. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. If it doesn't endure, if it's not the proper motive of the work, then it will not endure. He will not receive a reward. And it goes on to even clarify, as it says, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. What's the loss? The reward. No reward. No reward from Christ. No reward to throw at his feet in worship. We lose that. And then it even says more clearly, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. He will be saved, but his works were useless. We're talking about the proper motive. What is the motive of your work? What is the motive of your ministry? The work that God has for you to do using your gifts. Why do you do it? Let me give you some common motives. Now, these are just common motives in the world that everyone has, everyone uses. Motive number one is this, simply gain. My motive is gain. This is a big motivator for some people. If they don't see gain, what's the point? If they don't see profit, what's the point? You might could replace the word gain with money. Okay, that's a motivator. People get up on Monday, go off to work, and it's the Monday morning blues. Why do they do it? Well, because they get rewarded. They get the gain. They get the compensation for it. And that's a motivator. In ministry, though, this can be a trap as well. And we've seen the motivation of money many times, and sometimes it makes big headlines of the motive of money in ministry. With music, the many Christian books, prosperity teachers, and for many, the motive can at least appear. We can't know hearts of everybody, but at least appears to be motivated in a big part by money, by gain. And this is why 1 Timothy lists for the pastor as one of the qualifications is not to be greedy for money. This shouldn't be the motivation of one who serves the Lord in that capacity, but it should be the motivation of anyone who uses his gifts for ministry either. There's another motivation, and that is one of fear. Fear can be a motivator. You know, you got a 3-year-old at home, don't you get into the cookie jar, or else mom is going to get you. You know, that's what I always use, mom is going to get you. The motivation can be fear, and a lot of adults grow up still being motivated by fear. Fear of God or fear of what others may think about them. What kind of motivation is fear? Is it a good one? I am a husband and a father. As a husband, to my lovely Jen, you know, I desire and I hope and desire that Jen is always faithful to me as her husband, as my wife. Why should she be faithful to me? Because she fears me? Do you think? Is that a good motivator for Jen to be faithful at all times? My children grow up, and I desire that they walk with the Lord. I desire that they bring me joy and bring me honor by their decisions that they make and how they live their life and how they serve the Lord. Why would they honor me and bring such joy? Out of fear? Fear of Dad? If I don't perform, Dad's going to let me have it? Or Dad's going to withdraw his love from me? Or, you know, what's the motive? That's not a good motive, fear. But some people live their life motivated by fear. The third thing that many people live their life motivated by is simply praise. Matthew 6, verse 2, Jesus puts it this way, "Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory for men. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward." Do you get the absurd picture here? It is absurd. You're doing a charitable deed. You're going to go do something, and you're going to go help some homeless people. And so off you go, and it gives an example of sounding a trumpet before you. Make way. Pastor Ken is coming, and he's going to do a charitable deed for somebody. Everyone, watch and learn. This is kind of the picture that we get here. It says, they have their reward. What is the reward? Everyone else observing and watching and saying, wow, he's really doing something good. Isn't he selfless? Isn't he giving? Jesus says that's the reward. Don't expect a reward from God at that judgment that we saw in 1 Corinthians. At that judgment, don't expect a reward, for you already have it. Some may serve the Lord for the praise of men. I've heard more than once, some churches, which each week they read out from the pulpit the names of family, family names, and how much offering they gave into the offering plate that week. There have been times when we've had fundraisers here at IBC, when we've had to do something special, or we've had to build buildings or buy things, and we've had to do a fundraiser. And I know that some in this congregation have given even large sums of money. And I praise the Lord. At no time has any asked to be noted or mentioned or built up for it, or a plaque dedicated in their name because of their large donation. Praise the Lord, though. God sees. God knows. Be faithful to the Lord. Be faithful as you give to the Lord, but for His sake, not for recognition, not for praise. So the motive is not gain. It's not fear. It's not praise. And maybe there's other things in your mind that you can think of that are motivations. What is the motivation? We can point to passages like Luke 4:8, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." But this is not motive. This is a responsibility, but it's not really motive. We read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, this statement, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." What's the motivation for ministry? What was the motivation for Christ coming to die for you? "For God so loved the world
that he gave. What's your motivation for serving? Love. Love. It makes it clear it's not that we love God first. He loved us. He initiated things. But we serve him because he loved us first. We love him and we love others. We love one another. And so our ministry is to be motivated by love. That's it. We just sang this song this morning, and again, you know, fitting. The song states, I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. This is, the whole song is a song of love and thankfulness for what Christ has done for us. And that becomes the motivation for living. That becomes the motivation for ministry. I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. Started with God. He loved us. But as his children now, we now love. We now know love because God is love. We have his love, and this is our motive, the highest motive. And so this morning, I encourage you, this year, make loving God a top priority in your walk with him. Love God. You want to be more faithful to God? You want to serve God more this year and use your gifts this year in a way that you haven't before, more than last year? Make a focus on loving God. Review the wonder of redemption. He first loved us. He first loved us. Meditate on what Christ has done for you and make that your meditation, your focus, and what goes through your mind, and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord anew and afresh for his grace, for his salvation. The more you grow to love someone, the more you want to serve them. That's true, isn't it? The more you grow to love somebody, the more you desire to live for them, to do things for them, to serve them, to meet their needs. How are we to minister? Number three is this. We must minister with the proper power. I want to draw your attention to Acts 1:8. Acts 1, verse 8. Okay, there we go. How about read this one with me? Okay, read this out loud. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. Very good. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. So first of all, our power comes from where? The Spirit. From God the Spirit. Now he was speaking, Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and they were gathered around him, and he was fixing to leave, to be ascended back to heaven. And they told them that they were to wait in Jerusalem. They were to wait for that power, for that one that he had been talking about and promised, that comforter, that one that was like him, to come and guide them into all truth and to empower them for ministry. Serving God apart from that power is what we call serving God in the, anybody? In the flesh. We've talked about this word, the flesh. It's not just a word referring to the body, the meat, bones, and muscle. It's referring to serving God in our natural state, in our natural abilities. First Corinthians 12, verse 11. It says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. He's referring to the body of Christ.
He's referring to how we function together as a church. And it is the Spirit that works these things. It's the Spirit that distributes individually, as He wills, as He's decided, the gifts. And we all have a spiritual gift that He intends for us to use. A few observations about this. First of all, we see it's not natural, but given by God. It's not natural. As it says, distributing to each one as He wills. So this gifting that God wants us to use in ministry is not just a natural ability. Does God want to use our natural abilities? I would say yes. Some of you may be naturally gifted with music. There's just some natural virtuosos out there that, you know, from the age of 3 or 4 could pick up a violin and just play. And they're naturally gifted. Can God use that natural gifting? Yes, we can use that to serve Him, all things to serve God. But as one who belongs to Christ, the Bible describes that when we are in Christ, God gives us a gifting from the Spirit to use for work of ministry. And so, we must recognize this gifting, where it comes from. And so, we must be careful. I mean, saying that someone who is a really great salesman and a really good speaker and he does good presentations at work and then, but he's not a Christian, and maybe it's tempting to look at him and say, wow, if he were just a Christian, if he were just saved, he could go into ministry and be a really effective pastor because he's such a great salesman and good motivational speaker. Well, what are we looking at? We're kind of looking at the flesh, aren't we? We're looking at the natural man, the natural abilities. We're thinking in the flesh. And God may be able to use that man's natural abilities as well. But it's going to be somewhat harder for him to be able to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit when it's so easy to come naturally for him. But someone who may love the Lord and truly been transformed by His grace and is a changed person, a new creation in Christ, but yet God puts it in their heart and calls them to ministry, perhaps even to pastoring, and He gifts them. That person who may not have been a natural is going to have to rely on the working of the Holy Spirit all the more, the working of God, and God can use them. And perhaps you've seen God use people in unnatural ways, things that were far from natural to them. They rely on the Spirit of God to work. We also see another observation that God, that these gifts are to be used to edify the church, not self. That's the purpose of the gifts. It's not just to build you up. You may be blessed and enjoy using the gifts that God has given to you, but it's not for your enjoyment and benefit. It is for building up and edifying the church. Here, I've seen lately too many Christians who are really not a part of any church. They're not involved with any church. I recently met a couple. And they've been in this area for a year, and I asked, they're Christians, they say they are. Where do you go to church? Well, we don't go. We haven't found a church that we can agree with, really. We haven't found a church that believes as we believe. And so they've been going a little bit to this, you know, place, to that place, to this home group, that one. They're not a part of any church. What are they doing with their gifts? How are they ministering to a body of believers, to a church family, when they don't have one? They're not attending one. Gifts are used to edify the church. Another observation is that we need each other to function properly. And so just to be on your own, apart from a church, you're not relying on others to be able to function properly together. The Bible uses the analogy of a body to describe all the believers. And as a body, it takes every part, right? For your body to function, you don't want half of your body to work and half not to work. That would be terrible. Every part needs a function. What if you're a little toe and you're separated from the body and you're just a little toe out there by yourself? What can you do? It's kind of hard to function, isn't it, as a little toe on your own? And maybe God has given you the gift to be that little toe. But that little toe is an important part of the body as a whole, not on its own. We need each other to function properly. None of us have all the gifts. But we all have something. We all have a gift. I appreciate some of you using your gifts. Many of you, willingly give and use the gifts that God has given to you to serve the Lord, to serve other believers, to serve the church of God here. Some of you through hospitality, some of you through compassion, through even visiting. There's times I make a visit and have to be at the hospital for something, and already there may have been others who have come to visit if they've heard of a need or heard of a difficulty that someone is having. We need each other. We need to use our gifts as a body. I want to use my gifts where God has given me. I'm a teacher, I'm a pastor, I'm a preacher. I visit, I seek to lead the church in sound doctrine, among other things, but I am grateful for you, the body, to help in areas where I cannot function alone. And God doesn't want me or never expected me to function as the body alone. And God doesn't expect you to function as a body alone. At this church, we are blessed with many gifts, and we use them together. I thank the Lord for a church where there's good music that we can come and sing together, a children's ministry where people give of themselves in this respect. I would not do well with the children. I am not very patient around children, as some of you might know. There's greeters, and you give of yourself to be that first impression as people come to the church. Our life group leaders who give of themselves in leading and teaching and ministering to a small group. Kitchen helpers. There are some people who have a desire to serve and to give of themselves in such a way as to work in the kitchen. Again, this kind of ministry, that's not me. But if it's a heart, if it's their gifting, they love to use it in this kind of a way to serve others. But the list goes on and on. So I urge you to use your gifts. What spiritual gift has God given to you? Use it for His purpose. Use it for the church. And number four, finally, how must we minister in the church? We must minister faithfully. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This analogy here, to run the race, this is an analogy for runners in particular. Some of you maybe in this room have been runners, either now or in the past. And this verse is with you in mind. But it describes a great cloud of witnesses. I don't believe that this is to say that there's all these saints in heaven and they're the crowd that are watching and cheering you on as you go. But this cloud of witnesses, they are witnesses to God and witnesses to His faithfulness
And they have already run their race. They have already endured. They have already finished. They have already made it to the finish line. And this is the cloud of witnesses that have gone before us as testimony to God. They ran their race, and you can run yours too. And as a race, this requires endurance. It requires commitment. It requires faithfulness. Are there times of hardship in running the race? Are there times of hardship in serving God? Absolutely. I recall when I was much younger, we were in Los Angeles, and I enrolled in an American Football League and on a team. I was required to go into this training during the summer each day for 2 weeks of physical training. After day one, and after vomiting a couple of times, I decided maybe I made a mistake. Have you ever had to exercise so hard, been pushed so hard that you just throw up? Well, that was me. And I thought, man, what am I doing here? This is too hard. I can't do this. I can't endure. And I was encouraged by parents to stick it out. Stick it out. Don't quit after the first day. So I go back. I endured the pain. There was more pain to come. But it got better. It got easier. And then after the training had finished, and at that first game, and when the ball was kicked, and the game commenced, and I was on the field running with my teammates, oh, the awesome joy of being there and doing that sport and doing what I enjoyed and what I loved to do. It was just exhilarating, and it was thrilling. And I would have missed that if I wouldn't have endured the pain. I would have missed that if I'd have given up when things got uncomfortable, when things got a little harder. It was something that filled me with great joy. And God is encouraging you. Yes, we're never guaranteed that it's going to be easy. We're not guaranteed a life of comfort, a life of ease and luxury. But he says, keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Keep your eyes focused on the prize. It gets difficult at times, but don't give up. Endure. Others have gone before you. They have done it. They have shown that you can be faithful and you can serve the Lord faithfully. Don't give up now. Be one of those that is going to be a part of that cloud of witnesses that says, God is faithful and he gave me strength to endure. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Cast aside every weight, the cares and the sins of the world, the things that take your focus away, the things that hold you down from serving him with all that you have, from using all your gifts in ministry. When things are hard, know that it was hard for him too, but Jesus was faithful, and he was the example. He endured even the cross. Others have been faithful, and you can be faithful. Serve the Lord faithfully. Let's stand together. Every head bowed, please. I'm going to ask you, have you been a faithful servant of the Lord? Do you have, are you first of all willing to minister to everyone that God brings to us? Or are you only willing to really minister to those that make you comfortable? How about your motivation? Has your motive been one of love for God? Are you relying on the strength and the power of God, or are you relying on the flesh as you serve? Are you a faithful minister? This morning I appeal to you, be faithful to the Lord. This year, each of us should be a minister. I appreciate the ministry that God has given to many of you. I know that you've been serving the Lord faithfully, and I urge you, stay faithful. Don't give up. Is there something that God is putting in your heart for ministry this year? Maybe you're here and you've not been involved. You've just been soaking it in. I want to urge you, God gave you gifts to use, not for yourself, but to serve others with, to edify others, to benefit the church. Use your gifts faithfully to serve. What is God calling you to? As your head is bowed and eyes closed, I want to urge you, make your prayer saying, God, I surrender everything to you. I am open to your leading, to your plan, to your will. And where you lead me, I will follow. As the song we just sang a little bit ago said, I will serve thee because I love thee. And you have given life to me. Lord, may we, your people, be renewed by your Spirit. Be refreshed by the Spirit of God. May we obey you in response. May our focus be to love you with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and to serve you out of that motive. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take a seat if you would at this time. A few announcements from our brother Jojo. Thank you, sir.
Powerful challenge. We pray, Lord, that we will reflect on that challenge in the coming days to come. So as we continue, we have some announcements, and at the same time we want to welcome our visitors. So if this is your first time to be here with us, please stay for some fellowship. And we also have a welcome lounge back there. We'll be glad to know you more. Next announcement. Please don't forget about the Baptist Training College. So this will commence on February. And this is a course that I personally have been attending, and I'm benefiting from this. So if you have some questions, so approach our pastor, Pastor Ken, or Pastor John, or any of those who have attended or have been attending this. I'm sure that they'll be glad to know, or they'll be glad to share to you what this is all about. Next, don't forget the ministry training weekend. That will be on the end of this month, the 30th of this month, from 7 to 9. And of course, the following day, Saturday, from 10 to 12:30. So if you are in the ministry, or if you are considering to be part of God's ministry, please join us and be energized and be equipped as we serve God this year. Next, please. Yes, definitely, there'll be Ladies Friday Night Bible Study. And then if you have some questions, this usually happens Fridays, so if you have some questions, please approach Sister Jennifer for that. Then don't forget that our Sunday School R resumes the very day, first day of February. That's 1st of February. Next. All right. So this day will not be complete as we acknowledge and celebrate our birthday celebrants and all those people will be celebrating their wedding anniversaries this week. So anyone in our midst who are celebrating their birthday from today until Saturday, birthday celebrants. None. How about wedding anniversary? All right. Okay. Happy wedding anniversary. How many years po? 42 years. All right. 42 years and getting closer each day. Amen. So why don't we sing a happy anniversary song for them?
Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you.
All right, church, let's stand and be dismissed in prayer and be sure to greet each other before you leave and give each other a hand of fellowship or a holy kiss or something biblical, okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, may we leave here and remember the things that we have heard. May we serve you in ministry faithfully this year. And I ask, Lord, that each person would be willing to say, "Here I am, Lord. What would you have me to do?" That they would obey you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.